This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
3 o'clock standing tall here on a Monday. Feeling good, Seat Williams. Marcus, he's got the wheels of steel. Oh, are we loaded coming into this one, huh? How about the G Knights? The Vegas Golden Knights! 2 wins, huh? They're going to Dallas and beat a team that's supposed to be one of the best teams in on the ice. And then they come back in overtime. And I listened to the whole second period of that game in Phoenix, and they end up getting that one in overtime 2-1. So, yeah, expansion my ass. Okay? The Vegas Golden Knights rock. Huh? So we're rocking them right now to start the show. Oh, boy. Where do you start? A weekend loaded with controversy. Great games. How about the MLB pennant chases, huh? That's been pretty good. Watching Bryce come up in that eighth inning with a man aboard to tie it, and then Zim rakes it out to win the ball game. Man, college football all day long on Saturday. And then, of course, last night, pretty interesting game, even though it not as competitive as it appeared. But in the end, J.J. Watt losing him. And then, boy, before that, they lose Merciless. And then look what happened to the Giants. The Giants, historically, no team had ever lost all 4 receivers in one game. They lose all of them. From Marshall to Shepard to Beckham, and there's one other receiver they lost. They lost 4 receivers in that Charger game. And then, of course, the Chargers went on and won their first ball game in the battle of the no-beatens. The beatdown teams. How you doing today, Mark?
I'm good, man. I mean, like you said, a lot of excitement over the weekend, some great sports action, especially here in the hometown with the Rebels taking on SDSU in a very impassioned week. I'm good, man. I'm good. I feel fresh, renewed, excited to be on with you always.
Yeah, when you come off a weekend and you had all that stuff going down, and it was pretty cool. I'm listening to, actually watching the Rebel game, and the announcers kept going back to what happened that past Sunday at the Highway 91 concert, a country western concert, and the disaster from that one crazy shooter, Paddock. And I felt pretty good. You know, it felt like they were our announcers. They kept going back to it over and over again. I'm like, yeah, this is good. Because we want to remember. We want to remember those that we lost. And I got to say, with that behind us, the memory will always be there. And there were some locals that lost their lives, and many of locals that took injuries from it. So we keep that memory. We keep it, and we hashtag it Vegas Strong, because we are. All right. I can exhale a little bit here as we get ready. Boy, by the way, Jamil Hill. And let's address this before we get to rocking the NFL. Because no guest today. It's just too much to get into, too much to discuss and talk about. So we're going to do that. Jamil Hill, as you recall, took a shot at President Trump a month ago and called him a white supremacist, and the people in the cabinet were too. And ESPN was about to suspend her, but her partner, Michael Smith, said, you take her out, I'm not doing the show. So they cut her some slack. Not enough for her. And many of you out there might say it was okay what she did on social media. It's freedom of speech, right? But when you're ESPN, you're under the flag of Disney, you're under that umbrella, and you have a strict policy about staying away from politics on your social media accounts, and she does it, they let her get away with it the first time. But then Jerry Jones came out and said, and doubled down on it, if any of my employees or players kneel or don't stand for the flag, they're not playing. Players ain't playing. So she doubled down on it. And Marcus, she went back up there and took a shot at Jerry Jones, but she went in a way of saying, don't buy his advertiser's product.
Right. And so, you know, she kind of circumvents the direct conversation with Jerry Jones, and instead, in a suggestive way, you know, that's kind of not really a command, but more of a suggestion. She says, if you strongly reject what Jerry Jones said, the key is his advisors. Don't place the burden squarely on the players. She also said this play always works. Change happens when advertisers are impacted. If you feel strongly about JJ's statement, boycott his advertisers. And so it's not necessarily like we need to do this and we need to do that and you guys need to go do this if it's really meaningful. It really was a suggestion, but it pushed it far enough that ESPN decided that she needed to be suspended for 2 weeks. And so we're going to see
what happens. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? Like you said, Disney is a corporation that has very strict guidelines for their employees. And, you know, this is the sports world, and it's been so conflated with politics lately that I don't think what she said is unacceptable. But I also see ESPN's side, because you have people under your flag saying these types of things, and there's no telling what happens if somebody goes after somebody's advertisers. I mean, that's dangerous language. And although I agree that protesters should go about this in however they want to, and I agree with her right to say what she wants to on social media, I also see, you know, there's also risks in that. And so she took them. She's dealing with the consequences. And I don't think either party is really right or wrong here. I just think that the path was set out for her, and she went down along it. So to me, I don't think it was unacceptable. I can't say what I'd do if I was in the place of an executive, but, you know, 2 weeks, do the 2 weeks. We'll see if she tones it down on social media or not. If she doesn't,
whatever. Here's my saying on it. I think she got cut a lot of slack the first time around. Mm-hmm. And for her to go back up there and whatever you want to call it, wave it around. They got her because she deserved it. Mm-hmm. And that's just my opinion. I mean, they let her go. If she were a male, and this ain't a guy-girl thing, but if she were a male the first time around, she would have got whacked. She would have got suspended. They cut her some slack. She went up there again, dealing with the same thing in a different way. And well, they got her because she deserved it, in my opinion.
In this instance, I'm super shocked, though, because the first time it seemed like she said something way worse.
Absolutely. But see, when you're put on probation, that means you can't even mm-hmm. jaywalk. You can't spit on the sidewalk. Yeah. She did. Okay, she was asking for it. Mm-hmm. Pushing the envelope to the point where, you know what, if you don't like it there, if you don't like what their policies are, and you want to be brash on social media, then leave ESPN. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have enough power. You're going to get hired by someone else. Otherwise, understand you can't go up on social media with this stuff. Well, what's the big deal? I mean, why can't you just talk about it amongst your friends like most mm-hmm. people and then move on? But no, all right? If you want to be that person, then go ahead and get yourself fired mm-hmm. Because you have to chase your words. No, you're not going to get the last say. They're the employer. You're the employee, Jemele Hill. And that's just the way it is to me. To me, she got the punishment she deserved, and she's fortunate she didn't get fired because they let her go the first time.
Do you think this would be like a similar incident if she worked for maybe a CBS or a network that wasn't so sports-centric?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't. But you see what's going on with a lot of these CEOs and COEs mm-hmm. of these big corporations from Hollywood, the gentleman who just got let go, who had so many additional sexual assault cases against him. Mm-hmm. He actually had so many cases where in the past they came at him and he had to settle with different people, different women out of court, and then the other guy with Fox. I mean, these big dudes have been doing this all the time. All right? People are getting away with stuff. No. If you break the rules, you should be punished. And that's just my take on that. Keep in mind, I'll be at Twin Peaks up on Eastern and Serene. That'll be coming your way tonight. Man, I got a ton of good prizes. I got Tyson, Undisputed Truth 2, movie passes, Rebel Games, Scary House, different cover bands across from the House of Blues to other places. Yeah, it's pretty loaded. It's on. Speaking of on, it's game on, rocking the NFL. Let's get busy with it. Take you down to the heart of Texas. The Cowboys and Packers. You remember this one, huh? In the playoffs last year? Who's going to the Super Bowl? Well, we get you in our house, Jerry's World. And the Cowboys were doing it, getting it done. But you know what? Down the stretch, if you leave too much time on the clock, and there was one play in particular where they didn't have to throw the ball. They threw the ball, it stopped the clock. A minute 13 seconds, way too much for Aaron Rodgers. Here's why.
Second down and 10. Football to the 12-yard line of Dallas, 16 seconds ago in the game. They've worked on situations like this every day in practice. Three receivers right, Adams split to the left. Rodgers in the shotgun, Jones to his left. Aaron pointing to the right now. Gets the snap, looking, throws left side of the end zone. Leaping, great,
yes!
Devontae.
Yes!
Touchdown, Green Bay! A spectacular throw and catch to the left side of the end zone. They beat Jordan Lewis, Devontae Adams. Packers have six back deep. Prescott throws it short to Bryce Butler. Laterals it over to Zeke Elliott. He makes a spin move, cuts to his right. Elliott fakes a handoff. He rolls left, throws it over to Dak Prescott. Prescott circle running, throws it back to Bryce Butler. Circle running at the 50. Time is expired. Flips it over to Prescott. He's got Witten, throws it across the field, and it's incomplete and picked off on the play by the Packers. The ball hit the ground, picked up, and then finally covered up by the Packers. That last pass was kind of would be ruled a fumble to Travis Frederick. It was picked up by the Cowboys. The one more lateral before it came loose again. And the Packers recovered. And what a ball game. The Packers come from behind and win over the Cowboys 35-31. And with this win on the road, the Packers improve to 4-1.
Packers Radio Network got a grip on that north in the NFC now as they move to 4-1, you heard there. And the Cowboys dropping to 2-3. The Cowboys losing two straight home games. Not good. All right, let's take you over to the heart of Texas now as we move to the Texans playing Kansas City, the only unbeaten team left. Kind of odd you say that. Week number 5. Well, they can see if here they can remain unbeaten. But losing the game, bad enough for Texas. Losing J.J. Watt, even worse.
Third down and 5 at the Houston 17-yard line. Alex Smith in the gun. Hunt to his left. Kelce lined up right. Smith gets the snap. Here comes pressure. Smith throwing downfield, and it's incomplete. Smith took a shot. Brennan Scarlett coming up the middle, and J.J. Watt is down. Slow to get up. He's at the 25-yard line face down. Texans get off the field on third down, but this could be extremely costly.
And I'm not sure that he was hit, Mark. He was just in a pass rush.
Uh-oh.
And just went down.
And the Chiefs have made history. That is a 9th straight road win for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that ties a franchise record and a bit of a bizarre victory that the Chiefs get the win over the Texans 42-34.
Texans Radio Network, J.J. Watt going down, out for the year. Out for the year. I believe it's a fibula, and that is a fracture. And, you know, he was out pretty much last year, too. He's doing such great things for our country and in particular for the state of Texas with Hurricane Harvey and all the money and other accessories that he's provided. And it's just sad. He's the face of football, in my opinion, not just the face of the Texans, but he's the face of football and what he's done. And J.J. Watt is going to have to enjoy it on the sidelines now as Kansas City remains unbeaten now, 5-0. The Texans, 2-5. Who wants that division? Huh? The north of the AFC. By the way, Watson, once again, threw 5 touchdowns, back-to-back games where he's nickeled up on his secondary of the opposing team. Ravens and Raiders, huh? Manuel's the quarterback, so without Carr, Raiders ain't driving very far, are they? The Raiders, that is. The Ravens, though, they drove this one. As here's the final call.
Flacco takes a snap and takes a knee, and that's going to do it. As the Ravens and Raiders will take off for the locker room, the Ravens improve to 3-2. The Raiders fall to 2-3.
And right there, the Ravens Radio Network. You know, the taste that's in your mouth when you're a player. Fans, we know. But, you know, you got your season tickets. You're still going to go to the game. But when you're a player and you lose Derek Carr, your quarterback, your leader, you saw this happening last year going into the playoffs. You're nobody without him. He's your leader. He's your inspiration. He's your talent on that offensive side of the ball. And if you don't have him, you're not going to win. 2-3 go the Raiders. Ravens go to 3-2 after their beat down in London a week or so back. All right, let's move you out to Los Angeles, where the Rams playing some hard football, young and still growing up. Have they grown up enough to get the guys from Seattle? Well,
here it is. Here it is. The kneel down. The clock ticks down. The Seahawks win. The 12s behind the Seahawks bench go crazy. The Seahawks win 16-10.
Ugly as it's going to get, right? Seattle kneeling down, and that, of course, the Seattle Radio Network there. Now 3-2 like the Rams. This right here is going to be the nemesis of Seattle all year long. They're going to have to deal with this because the Rams, they're not afraid of them. And that right there is one of the keys. If you really believe you are as good or better than your opponent, whether it be in the cage, in the squared circle, on the field, on the court, on the ice, then you're going to compete. You're going to compete. And the Rams, they're growing up. When their growing pains are over, they're going to end up taking over this division. And it probably will be before their stadium is built. Both teams now 3-2. The Steelers at home thinking, you know, hey, got a live one here, huh? Mouse in the house. Well, Jaguars are bigger than you think they are. And they came in and they got it done. And Roethlisberger threw 5 picks. It was Sunday. Let's take them to church.
Jags showing blitz again. Drop out of it again. Dropping his Roethlisberger. Goes to the middle of the field. That ball is knocked away and picked off. Barry Church picked off a tip pass to the 30, to the 25, inside the 20, inside the 5. He is into the end zone. That is another pick 6. Touchdown Jacksonville. This time it is Barry Church for the score.
Hello.
Jags running off the field here to shake hands. Now the Steelers will meet them. The fans that are left here are booing. You don't see this in this stadium very often. Jacksonville 30. Pittsburgh 9.
Jacksonville 3-2. The Steelers 3-2. No, you don't see that at all. Jacksonville going in and shutting out the Steelers from getting a touchdown. Shut them out in the fourth quarter from scoring. The Steelers put up 3 threes in each quarter but the fourth. They had no offense. Roethlisberger, the question was, I'm watching a couple of other games and someone said to me, is he done? Well, I don't know. The jury's still out. Should you be concerned? Yeah, you should be concerned. You're playing Jacksonville at home. And they don't come into your house and beat you unless you got issues. I remember the situation with Brown the week before. And you got guys seem pretty disgruntled with the Steelers. So we'll see if it carries over any further into week number 6 and on throughout the campaign. May have to change things up there in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Motown. Lions, Carolina. This right here, the other game of the week, like the Cowboy-Packer game. Very exciting. Cam Newton, of course, he was under fire for what he said to a female reporter and very disrespectful. I called him a punk on the air Friday for doing it. Well, the punk came out and punked Detroit as he found Benjamin down the stretch.
There's the shotgun snap. Newton back. Lowe throws deep left side. Slay out there, and it's caught for a touchdown. That's Kelvin Benjamin.
What a victory by the Panthers in Detroit. Hard fought like we knew it would be. Panthers surge out to a 17-point lead after trailing 10-3 early. Survive a whole bunch of penalties and win it 27-24.
That was the Lions Radio Network. Carolina with their victory there. keeping things in order down into, in my opinion, in the NFC, the best division in that conference, where they got some tough teams like Tampa to deal with, the Saints and Atlanta. And then the San Diego Chargers and the New York Football Giants back in New York, where both teams came in 0-4. The Chargers looked to be the better team. They were 3-point underdogs in this one. Phillip Rivers didn't throw a ton of interceptions, but he did hand it off to Melvin Gordon.
Just gets it in time. Going underneath for Gordon, has the reception. 5 to the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. Rivers to Gordon for the second time today. It's a 10-yard touchdown pass. Manning stands tall all kinds of time. Now scrambling, middle of the field. Picked off. Intercepted by the Chargers. Trey Boston falls down near midfield. And all that stands between the Chargers and their first victory of the season is a knee.
27-22, the Chargers with the victory. They're 1-4. And the Giants be 0-5. The Giants 0-5. The other question is, what about Eli? What about Eli? Roethlisberger, I believe Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Eli, I believe they all came out the same year. And Eli and Rivers have the streak of not missing any ball games. Ben Roethlisberger, on the other hand, has taken a beating. And he's plays like a linebacker. So sometimes you may have him in your grasp. He's not going down. He shrugs you off. Someone else hits him. He completes the play still. But, you know, after a while, the wear and tear is starting to show here. And a quarterback needs to know when it's time to pack the bags and go. I'm not saying that's the case right here. But Roethlisberger, of the three, I believe, has taken a bigger beating. Eli has got two rings. Roethlisberger also has a pair. Rivers doesn't have a ring. But it's not to say he's not in that same circle of company with those three quarterbacks. All right. There you have it. Week number 5. Game on. Rocking the NFL. Other games that were important. But, you know, just looking back at the games we went over, the Cowboys, in my opinion, I don't know. The Eagles are out in front right now in that division. We see the Giants, the Redskins not so good. So I think it comes down to, can you sweep the Philadelphia Eagles? You're 2-3 right now, and Philadelphia has a grip on that division. You're going to have to beat them twice. If you can beat them twice, if you can handle your business with Washington, do what you need to do there, you should be okay because you're only a game under. It's not like you're 1-4 or 0-5. And the Eagles, even though Carson Wentz is really having a terrific first half of the year, I mean, he's setting the bar pretty high for the rest of the quarterbacks in that division. So we'll see what happens there. The Texans losing Merciless, losing Watt. Wow. Deshaun Watson has come to surface, and I really do believe he's going to be a star in this league. Remember, he's, what, 5 games into his professional career, and he's playing like a veteran already. Also, I like the fact that when he's in trouble off a scramble, he knows when to go down. He knows how to slide and protect his body. RG3 was a guy who didn't know how to do that and then went on to say, I'm not going to slide. Well, that's why you're not in the league anymore. This dude right here kind of gets it, so we'll see what happens with him as we continue to move on. And then, of course, Beckham going down with the injury. It didn't seem like Beckham came in focused. And when you're all about yourself, and he's a prima donna, okay? He is. He's a diva. And that's okay. But you have to come in ready. The injury he had coming into camp, nursing it. We saw him in his childish antics last year, fighting with the cage and other things of that nature. Look, you got to put that stuff to rest. No more excuses about being young and immature. That you are, but you have to come ready. And it's very unfortunate. Both Watt and Beckham's injuries. Beckham was a contact injury, but not the type of contact injury to the leg where he's up in the air, he gets hit, he comes down wrong, and he's done for the year. Giants have no hope. None. They can win a few games, maybe disturb who's on a pace to do something good in that division. But I don't see anything else going on where they can actually make a case and make anything go in their favor. So we'll see what happens with that. Tons of injuries. Just, boy, you hate to see it. Of all the things that can happen to end a season or a career, more so a person's regular season, you don't want to see that. All right, baseball, let me get you caught up on what we have going on here. Bottom of the seventh, Nationals up 1-0 on the Cubbies. Astros eliminate Boston 5-4 in their ball game. Yankees, Indians coming up, and also Dodgers, Diamondbacks, that will be coming up, I guess, tomorrow. So there you have it. Keep in mind, I'll be over at Twin Peaks tonight, giving away Tyson Undisputed Truth 2. Also, I'll give away a certificate for 2 for you later in the week on that. Keep in mind, they have the coldest draft beers in the city at 29 degrees or colder. Rebel Tickets, Age of Chivalry, Shriners Hospital of the Children Golf Tournament getting underway at TPC. I got tickets for that also. Plenty of concerts, House of Blues and other places. So Twin Peaks, I'll be over there, Eastern and Serene. As soon as this particular show ends at 4 o'clock, I'm on my way over there. All right, we're stepping away. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's let blow.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
3:31 in the Valley. Lighters up. Pass it. Take you back to Asbury Park, New Jersey. You believe in the dead coming back, Marcus?
I believe in spirits and ghosts a little bit.
How about people? How about zombies?
Not yet. Not yet.
Apocalypse. Anyway, hundreds of undead people have gathered or did gather in New Jersey on the shore to take part in the annual Zombie Walk. Okay? The event was staged Saturday in Asbury Park and featured a variety of mutated characters, including 4 undead Disney princesses and gory nurses. I like the gory nurse. A zombie, Donald Trump, pushed a tombstone with his name on it as people threw paper towels from the crowd like he was over in Puerto Rico. Does anyone need saving? Was the question. So they do this thing apparently each and every year. Walk organizers tout the event was one of the biggest gatherings of undead on the planet. Most people who took part applied their own gory makeup before arriving, but others they haven't done from professionals who are on the makeup set. Security was beefed up for the event following the mass shooting, which took place here on Sunday. Organizers banned the use of prop weapons. So, for the Walking Dead, ain't nobody got killed around those dead people. Doing it bigger than ever. I consider that dope.
Definitely, man. I'm not a huge fan of Halloween. I've never been a big fan of
it. You like scary movies?
Ah, no.
You coward. You puss.
It's not because of that.
Are you serious?
People like jump scares, and I've never understood why people would pay for jump scares. I just never pay for that. Now, if somebody's like, look, let's go see It. You know, it's a chill movie. You know, it's Steven, what's his last name? What's the writer's last name? Steven, can't remember his last name right now. He wrote all the scary stories, the Cujo, and...
Oh, what's, See, now you're blanking me out.
Dang it. But I'll go see that. That's good writing. That's good film work. But I'm not going to go pay to go to the Fright Dome or something like that. I'm just not that type
of guy.
You're
a coward. You're a coward, dude.
I want to talk about something else that happened over the weekend. Something being coined.
Stephen King.
Stephen King, yes, sir. Left to be coined the most Oakland thing ever. I don't know, and I'm sure you heard about this, but Donald Penn almost getting in a fight with a Raiders fan. Oh, man. It's so funny to me. But what happened was various fans wanted to fight some team members. Donald Penn got called out from his Bentley, gets out of the car. Security has to come between him and a fan who, and the fan, the best part is, he takes his hat off like he's really about to scrap, hands it to his homie behind him. It's all over social media. But I guess we might be in danger of seeing a trend where fans try to actually fight NFL players. In this case, I wouldn't have minded seeing Donald Penn put hands on somebody, but he's not a dope because he let security handle it. The fan trying to fight an NFL player, regardless of who threw threats first, that guy is a dope. Come on now. This is not your average Joe. This is Donald Penn, his fist the size of your face. I got to say, fans trying to fight NFL players, dopes.
Yeah, but Penn and other players have to avoid the fight.
And he did in this case. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Two things they want. They want, A, the title.
Yep.
You know, I kicked his ass. And B, after I beat his ass, then, you know what, I sued him. Mm-hmm. So this is like a situation where, who was it? Who was it that came in here? That Howard. It's like Howard comes in here. We pay him $900,000
right
to kick our ass. Okay? So, you know, you don't let that happen. Troy and Florida State. You know, Troy got, what, $2 million, whatever it is, and came in and beat the nose up. No. If you're a celebrity, if you're a public figure, if you have deep pockets, you never want to get involved in any type of public violence, because even if you win the fight, you lose in the courtroom. You can't be lured into it. And NFL players have to be smarter than that.
Right. And Donald Penn going to Twitter, of course, to explain. The fan threw a bottle at his car, mind you. I think this car is $400,000, something like that. But he did say that he should have stayed in his car rather than even get out and escalate the altercation. But responsible of him to go on Twitter and try to give people a little more context.
I get it. All right, let's go up to Anchorage, Alaska. A popular reindeer that could be seen walking the streets of downtown Anchorage. Poor fella died at age 15. Yeah, reports that on Saturday, Star, dead.
Bang.
Sad. Star, imagine this now. There's a reindeer, and you live in Anchorage, and you see this reindeer, and you know, you may have heard about him, got the reputation, Star. People want to pet him and feed him. He's very friendly. So there he is on the streets, roaming around. Well, they won't see him anymore because he passed away at age 15. People would feed him many wheats, grapes, such of other things. And, hey, he was an icon. The question to me is, do you get to eat him now? He is a deer. Right? I mean, I know it sounds a little selfish, but what else are you going to do with him? Star is probably delicious, okay? I'm not encouraging that they chop him up and eat him, but you're going to bury him? Dig the grave up and get him later.
I think that's
pretty dope, Star.
It reminds me of that story with the firefighters that ate the pigs that they saved.
I think Star was pretty dope. I should admit.
That's pretty dope.
Crazy, man.
No doubt. I know as, you know, citizens of this city, we're all trying to figure out how to move past the tragedy that happened last Sunday at Route 91. And I think what was set up during the UNLV and SDSU game this weekend was a wonderful tribute to the victims of that tragedy. And I have to commend, you know, a couple of young men, probably around my age, maybe younger. They're college football players off of SDSU squad, for some things they said after that game. Here's that sound.
Still feel like we're struggling in little areas, but again, I'm still emotional about it because I honestly haven't recovered well about it, because, you know, this is something that happened to this city, and honestly played emotional tonight because, you know, it doesn't matter where it happened. It's still in America. And for a man to take so many people's lives like that, you know, that honestly hurt. And coming into this game, it was emotional because it's so many people from Vegas on our team. And I felt what they were going through tonight. And I felt what the other guys on the other side of the field was going through tonight. So, you know, I tip their hats off to them. Just coming out and playing and then seeing this city rally together with all these fans supporting us. I mean, this is an amazing job, and I talk to them. But for us, we still have a lot to grow in the areas of just fundamental-wise. I mean, I think we can just go out and play football, but it's just all about fundamentals, and that's something we got to get better at. But, you know, a win is a win, so you can't complain about anything.
The chills I had, and I'm getting them right now just talking about it. Like, that's something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. And, you know, thoughts and prayers with all the family. And just to be able to stand side by side with the first responders who were there was a really humbling experience. And to be able to go on and just play a game, you know, with my brothers, it's something so simple. And what those people went through was a really humbling experience.
That's Rashad Penny and DN Dakota Turner, both SDSU players. And they, you hear them speaking after their 41-13 win over UNLV here in Vegas on Saturday. And the game, incredibly competitive. I mean, the head coach, SDSU's head coach, even had said that there was four quarters of really competitive play, and I appreciate that. And I was here in studio working the UNR game, Nevada game, excuse me. I graduated from there.
The Reno game.
But
correction.
I got to watch UNLV on TV, and that was amazing. So, you know, those guys coming out and speaking the way they did about the game and about the situation, just really proud of that. And those guys, pretty dope for that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, when players are focused on what they have to do and what they need to do, that is smash the other team. And San Diego State came in and did that. But to hear Penny and his teammates acknowledge, yeah, there's a number of players from Las Vegas on our roster. They're our teammates. They're part of our family. So we feel what they're feeling. I come in the country. These players in particular, but overall, from watching all sports all weekend and all week long, we weren't missed by anyone. Everyone acknowledged what happened to us. Everyone wants to come to Vegas. You know, you want to come to Vegas and have a good time and you want to feel safe. Well, you can still do that. It's safe here. And he wasn't an outsider. He was one of ours, okay? This Paddock guy, he lived here. He was one of ours. He was a local crazy. And I've always said it. I mean, our biggest enemies are us, okay? We're the biggest enemy that we have is each other, unfortunately. All right, got one more. I'm working. Number one team in the country, the Roll Tide Roll. Well, they rolled 27-19 in their victory over Texas A&M, but Nick Saban wasn't very happy, okay? And he went on this rant when he was talking after the game about the media and what he felt like listening to the media was.
You know, I'm trying to get our players to listen to me instead of listening to you guys. You know, all that stuff you write about how good we are and all that stuff they hear on ESPN, it's like poison, you know what I mean? It's like taking poison. Like rat poison. All right, so I'm asking them, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys about how good you are? All right, just like your question right now, if we get stopped 3 out of 4 times, like that's a bad thing? We're not going to beat everybody 66-3.
There you go. Nick Saban, love him. Nick Saban is becoming Jim Harbaugh's twin, right? Rat poison. Listening to you guys, you know, it's like poison. Yeah, it's like poison. Rat poison. Listen to me. Don't listen to them. Well, you know, when you're a kid, you read your clippings. You know, when I was younger and I played, I mean, we didn't even have papers write about us till like my senior year. They started a paper out in Claremont, San Diego, where they started to post what preps were doing. Then they came out with a magazine. But now, if you're a prepster and you're playing ball, you're everywhere if you're good. You know, I mean, there's a place now to hear and see what's going on with your youth. And some kids really, they don't understand, hey, listen, I still got to stay grounded. Okay, I am that good and I might become better, but no, the heads get swole. And from that point, it's too late. Now, the one you're about to take over is one we're going to carry into the next segment, too. But I thought Nick Saban was dope.
For sure. There's no doubt about it. And just a smart, level-headed guy in general, but I think it's good training. You know, this is never going to go away. Members of the media, including ourselves, are always going to talk one way or another about what's happening in politics, sports, science, tech, whatever world you're involved with. And it takes some resilience to not let that get into your mind too deeply. And so I respect Coach for what he's saying. He's very right about it. It could be poison sometimes. Alabama's doing just fine, though. Alabama's doing just fine. So this is crazy.
Rat poison.
This is crazy. Dolphins O-line coach Chris Forster went on to social media, went on to Twitter this weekend, and in this strange ritualistic video, snorts lines of what CNN called a white substance. We'll keep it at that, but this is just one weird monologue everybody kind of has to hear. This is Ollie Connolly's video on Twitter.
Hey, babe. Miss you. Thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go? There's those big grains falling. But I miss you. I miss you a lot.
Cringy, first of all, very cringeworthy, but what the heck? First of all, this guy obviously has some issues that should probably be addressed in a different setting. Adam Gase, head coach, you know, going on and talking about how disappointed he is, how disappointed Forster is in himself, but really? You're telling us that before meetings, you're going to do this to some invisible woman, and you're posting it online. So how disappointed can you really be in yourself? I think they need to check him out. But in this situation, Chris Forster, you are a dope, sir. You are a dope.
Man. You know, that was my first time hearing it. I kind of saw the video. They were showing it with the news. But that, you told me, hey, I got the video. It was kind of creepy.
Isn't it cringy?
You're taking a video of yourself breaking the law, okay? It's illegal to snort a white substance. Maybe if they get you, you could say it was baking soda, right? That's why my brain is all jacked up. Whatever the case is, you don't belong in the NFL.
No.
You certainly don't belong around college kids.
Exactly.
All right? And once you do that, you've crossed the line. There's no coming back. That's sad. I mean, where does your mind kick in? Where does something kick in your brain and say, you know, this will be pretty cool? I miss Joanne. So let me send this video up there. Maybe she'll come back to me.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I want to know a little bit about the past, but I don't need to know that much. After watching that video, I'm going to try to stay away from that whole situation. I'm sure some more will be uncovered. But like I said, Mr. Forster, you're dope, sir.
Lighters down, damn it. Let's step out. Final go round after this.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
Final go round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. 3:51 as we close things out. Man, that Chris Forster. That was pretty weird.
Yeah.
That was pretty weird. I wanna play that again in this segment on the way out. Because for those that missed it, allegedly it was cocaine. It was a white substance he's snorting. And he's referring to some woman in the past that he had dated that he still didn't have her. And this right here is something he was doing right before practice. He's acknowledging that. He puts a video up and posts it. you just don't do that. You just, whatever's in your private world, if you're leading a double life, that's your option, right? But you're responsible for a job, and if you mess up on your job and they have this video of you, it's the right to fire you anyway. But he resigned after that was posted and they saw it. It's almost like he really didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're gonna let me mention this where I'm at tonight. Once again, Twin Peaks, Eastern and Serene. Come on over there. I got plenty of prizes we're giving away. I'll get there in time for the party. 5 o'clock, it'll jump off. And really good service. Draft beer. Check out the menu and check out my prize pack. All right. I think it's time. I want to play this again because I hadn't heard it before. But Chris Foster, the former O-line coach of Miami, it's creepy, but he's snorting a white substance. It appears to be cocaine. Can't confirm it. But if it is cocaine, then he basically turned himself in if the police wants to get him. I'm quite sure they don't have any evidence of him, of it. But if you think that and you check it and it's in his blood system, they're not going to go get him. But it's one of the dumbest things I've seen an adult do that had a pretty good job and is a public figure. Folks, meanwhile, keep your chins tucked, low guards up. I will see you on the radio more of the show tomorrow. And as ESPN 920 The Game, game on, game over.
Hey, babe, miss you, thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go? There's those big grains falling, but I miss you. I miss you a lot. What do you think? Crazy? No, babe. It's gonna be a while before we can do this again. Because I know you're gonna keep that baby. But I think about you when I do it. I think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was. So much fun. The last little bit before I go to my meeting. Is that a good puppy? You think? I think not. I wish I was looking this.